A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, it's game time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all of football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's game time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Monday, welcome in. July 15, 2024 is the date. It's time for the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman, Gabe Kuhn, on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside, as always, the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That would be Connor Dunning on X at CDunning929. Connor, what's the word, brother?
What's up, man?
Did you pre-order NCAA 25 or are you waiting till Friday?
I'm just going to wait to get it.
Yeah, you didn't want to pay extra. No paying extra to get it early.
I forgot that you had to pay extra. So this morning, I woke up all excited, jumped on the PS5 as soon as I got up, went to the PlayStation store, and then I was like, oh, wait a second. I got
to
wait. Yeah, I'm like, listen, I've waited a decade for this game. I can wait 3 more days.
Yeah, it's not that complicated. Now, we do have some overall ratings for Memphis football that
we
want to get to at some point. Our guy Colby Cox, who's sitting in studio with us right now, research assistant, intern, doing the whole thing. I hate to bring this announcement up, you know, because I guess the long snappers don't get a whole lot of love in NCAA 25. He's listed as a tight end. Worst overall on the Memphis roster. Worst overall. 55 as a tight end, but he's not a tight end. I don't know how fair
that is. His awareness, though.
But the awareness, best on the team.
Best
82?
On the team. Best on
82.
The team.
82. Shout out, Colby.
Shout out,
brother. That's well done.
Even though
the overall is just unfair. They need to list him as a long snapper.
Just do it.
So he can get that overall boosted up.
You're telling me that they've been working on this game forever, and they couldn't put long snappers in the game. They had to make them all tight ends. They did all the long snappers dirty across the country.
Yeah, what they do, though, and what they did with the old game is whoever the center is the long snapper on the punt team and the field goal team, which doesn't make sense. It's not how that works. But, hey, it is what it is. I think his speed rating. Not 70. We were talking off air. I think he enjoyed that rating.
70. He confirmed 70 overall.
Yes,
not
there
bad.
There we go.
So awareness and speed. Maybe put him on the kickoff team.
Hey, Let's figure it out. I don't know if the kickoff team would suit him well in real life, though.
Gabe, we're trying to help him out here, all right?
No offense, Colby. But we have 3 hours of talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We have SEC Media Days rolling along right now. Today, Greg Sankey spoke. He spoke on what they're going to do going into the future. He was asked about realignment and expansion. And he was kind of mum on the idea, but we'll tell you what he said. But then it's LSU, South Carolina, Ole Miss, and Vanderbilt's day to speak. I'm going to break down who I think the top five finishers will be in the SEC at the bottom half of this hour. As far as guests are concerned, 5 o'clock will be David Cobb. We'll talk about some SEC media days along the way with him, what we think about that. 6 o'clock, Eric Hasseltine will join. Play-by-play voice for the Grizzlies radio network. We'll talk about the Grizz Summer League, maybe a little bit of Team USA. Did you see their friendly? It was way early.
I did see it.
Not great. Not great. 98-92 against Australia and Abu Dhabi. I don't much care. It's a friendly. It's an exhibition. Whatever. But they did allow 68 points in the paint.
Uh-huh.
Jock Landale had a field day against the back line of the United States of America. 20 points for Jock Landale. Not great. Not great, but you raise your hand. What do you have to say? Are we just writing this off?
Who cares? I just want to ask, when we start having conversations about Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
I just want to ask.
We've already had him. We've had him plenty. First couple times.
I've been here for a while. For a while.
And the World Cup performance definitely made me feel a type of way about that, trying to make Jaren into like a natural five. We thought some of those things would carry over. They haven't. But, yeah, well, I think we've had these conversations about Steve Kerr. We're not that enthused about where Team USA is with him trying to run things his way.
Always seems like they're underwhelming.
Yeah.
I suppose. But they're still winning, and I do guess you have a reinforcement in the name of Kevin Durant on the way.
Yeah, that
which
is
helps.
True. Yeah, that's very helpful.
Adding one of the best players ever does help.
Adding the lead scorer in Olympic men's basketball history, that should help.
Yeah.
It should help.
Arguably the best offensive weapon we've ever seen.
Yes.
He might help.
He might. There's a distinct possibility he's going to add to this team. We'll hop into the Blitz at 6:30. And in the Blitz, I thought it was interesting. We had a win totals published for the NBA. And obviously, we're going to have to see schedules and how they all play out. But the Grizzlies were set at 46.5, just about everywhere you look. FanDuel, DraftKings, the whole thing. I'm going to tell you if I think they'll go over or under. Obviously, there's a couple of things they have to work out. We have some news on Zaire Williams that, honestly, is just confirmation of what we already knew. And then Luke Kennard looks like he's trending in the way of the Grizzlies. But we have not seen a deal get officially done. But I'll tell you if I think they'll go over or under. And also, we have the All-Star festivities for Major League Baseball going along. Home Run Derbies tonight. I'm sorry. Can you pick anyone besides Pete Alonso? I know I'll give it an official pick probably when we get to the Blitz. But Pete Alonso, he just lives for this nonsense. He lives for the Home Run Derby. He's perfect for it. Just this big man, short swing, swings at everything, takes it way too seriously. I mean, he's perfect for it. And he's already won two.
Right.
But he's the shortest odds. We'll talk about that as we get into the Blitz as well. But I hate to open this way, but if you were around your phone just following the news this weekend, I thought it was a depressing weekend, Connor. In a lot of ways. We had a attempted assassination at a Trump rally in Pennsylvania where he got grazed on the ear by a shooter. The shooter's been confirmed dead along with another person. And then we had the Copa America stuff that I'll get to in a second. But with the Donald Trump attempted assassination, I am just, it's depressing where we're at politically in this country. We are devolving. We have devolved over the past, you know, really since we got into the 21st century when we're talking about social media, how aware we are of everything going on. We have devolved to these polls where instead of trying to work together, we decide to go after each other, and that's what leads to something like what we saw over the weekend with Donald Trump on Saturday. That was brutal for me to see. I'm not a Donald Trump fan by any stretch of the imagination, but to have a former president and a guy who is the Republican nominee for the presidential race get shot at, get grazed, almost be put in the line of fire and pass away, that's brutal, man. That's something you never want to see, and I never want to see happen again.
Yeah, not a good weekend. Not a good weekend at all. I just wish we could go a couple months without having some historic event happen during our lifetimes. Like, can we just have a normal election cycle, please? What happened over the weekend is, you know, should never happen. I'm glad that everybody's come out and condemned it. It's not a Republican or Democrat thing. Nobody should be in the line of fire. Nobody should have to worry about that. Really unfortunate day, sad day for the country. I'm glad the person that, you know, did it, it was it seemed like they were held responsible pretty quickly.
Yes, yes.
You know, we'll keep it at that.
Secret Service handled that pretty quickly.
Yeah, they handled it pretty quickly.
The fact that he got five shots off, though, is kind of insane to me.
It's just
it sounded like most of the people in the crowd saw this happening. This was something that they actively saw him army crawling on the ground, crawl up to the top of the roof, and then get his right. He had a rifle on the entire time. People saw this transpiring, but it seems like Secret Service and security were a little late, which is, to me, kind of blows my mind. It blows my mind that it took that long to apprehend him and hold him accountable.
It's wild to me that he was able to get on a roof.
Right. Like, with everybody seeing, everybody pointing him out.
Right.
From what you have seen, people talk about it that were in the crowd. Like, you absolutely could have gotten ahead of that. People were pointing at him in his direction and trying to get people to stop him, and they allowed five shots to ring off. And former President Trump, Republican nominee, gets grazed on the ear, and he was playing golf the next day, so it seemed like he was still in fine spirits.
Well, and I do think that we need to remember that somebody unfortunately lost their life.
Yes,
so it was an awful, awful day for the country, and I hope we can put it behind us, but I have doubts that we'll be able to easily put it behind us.
And then yesterday, the tickets to the Copa America final between Argentina and Colombia and Miami at Hard Rock Stadium were $1,500. So how do you get around that? Apparently fans decided to just break into Hard Rock Stadium in droves. Just trampled people. There were kids that were injured in this process. You had a mass of humanity not allowed through the front gates. You had people who didn't have tickets flooding into the stands. The game was delayed 30 minutes. The stadium was overwhelmed. You saw people running through entrances, just trying to trample the security staff, pushing and shoving. They were jumping fences. They were jumping fences to get into Hard Rock. And then I even saw people trying to use a vent. Like, It's insane, man. And then what really sticks out, obviously, Argentina ended up winning. They won the Copa America final. I think it's their 16th, but they won 1-0 against Colombia. But Hard Rock and Miami, because of the World Cup will be coming here in 2026, Hard Rock's supposed to be one of the host sites for the World Cup in 2026. It's time to beef up security. Figure it out. I mean, that something like that cannot happen. It just cannot happen. You need to have all hands on deck to be able to keep that from happening. And it just people jumping through the vents. Did you see that video?
I did see the
people
video.
People jumping through vents trying to crawl their way into Hard Rock to go see the Copa America final. But this weekend, I had to find some distractions along the way, man. I couldn't pay attention to my phone and all the news because it was just depressing.
Yeah, I to be quite honest, I was lucky. I was at a wedding on Saturday that was absolutely beautiful, and then Sunday I spent my day doing things that, you know, bring me joy. So I was able to stay away from social media and all the news because it was a highly depressing weekend, you know what I mean? And that's what I mean. It's just, it seems like every single time big news comes out now, it's all negative. And it's been really difficult to be on social media the last few days. So just put your phone away, go outside, spend time with your family. It's the best way to get through it.
Yep. Now we'll go ahead and transition from there because the Grizzlies are back in action.
Yes.
In summer league.
That'll help.
Tonight.
Zach Edey minutes.
We can distract
ourselves.
You know
what I need? Zach Edey minutes.
Now, that's where we have to start this conversation. Do we get Zach Edey minutes tonight? I know he has not been officially shut down, and we expect to see him in summer league at some point, but is tonight the night that he gets back on the floor? They will be playing against the Mavericks tonight at 7 p.m., the Mavericks summer league team, of course, and that'll be on ESPNU, I believe, is where that's going to be housed, where you're going to be able to watch that tonight once we get off air. But do we get Zach Edey minutes tonight? I have found myself in this spot where if Zach Edey's not playing, I'm just not paying attention near as much as I normally would. I want to see him on the floor, him get used to the pace, the space, everything he's going to have to get used to with the big club.
Well, I am in total agreement with you, and it's no offense to the other players who are on the G League team right now.
Not at all.
But I feel like we've already seen from them the last few games what I kind of wanted to see from them. To be quite honest, I do wish that GG Jackson was playing a little bit better, but I'm hesitant to hold a summer league against him when I have a sample size of him playing real NBA minutes. To be quite honest, he has still shown his scoring ability and his talent on that end. But you and I have had discussions, and I think that everybody across Grizzlies fandom and even the Grizzlies would admit that we were hoping that during summer league we saw a little bit more of a defensive awareness from him and more of a playmaking ability from him, and we just haven't really seen those two things. The rebounding has gotten a little bit better. His efficiency has certainly gotten better since that first game. I just wish that we saw those two components of his game. But again, he's still one of the most, he still is the youngest player in the NBA and one of the most talented guys in, you know, for, that the Grizzlies have right now. I think that John Morant or Desmond Bane, somebody said that the two most talented players on the team are John Morant and G.G. Jackson, and I think, you know, that makes a lot of sense. So I do want to see some more things from him, but overall, like, really the only intrigue that I have anymore for this summer league team would be watching Zach Edey. That's the only thing that I feel is drawing me to the summer league now.
So G.G. Jackson, sure, yeah, he's somebody you're going to watch. You want to see him become a leader in summer league with some of the guys he's playing around because he's been with the big club, he has his contract, the whole thing. But the problem with G.G. Jackson in summer league is this is still not the role he's going to play with the big club. And
right,
with that,
right,
you have questions about what that will look like when he's actually with the Grizzlies. Coming off the bench, you know, 15 minutes probably tops, 15, 20 minutes, 20 minutes very tops for what he'll be getting per game in a Grizzlies uniform when they're actually playing regular season games. That's why I have so many questions about him still. He could light up the scoreboard, get his teammates involved, do all these things, but that's still not the role he's going to play with the actual Grizzlies team. And that, for me, it's just less intrigue off the top.
Right. Yeah, that's why the things that we were wanting to see for him are more evolutions of his game and yes, what he could show for the future. It's not necessarily about this season. That's why, you know, I don't have concerns about G.G. coming out of summer league. It's more so like, oh, man, I wish that had developed, but he still has a lot of time for those things to happen. But then when you look at the other guys that may have had some intrigue, you know, I think that Jalen Wells has shown that he is, you know, has a lot of potential, but he's going to be a raw player in the NBA. Cam Spencer has certainly shown that I think that there is a spot for him in the NBA moving forward if the Grizzlies can figure out their roster crunch, but unfortunately he will have to start the season on a two-way. But, you know, I think that all of us can envision him having an impact on an NBA team one day, so hopefully we get to see that. Scottie Pippen Jr., he's been exactly what we hoped that he was going to be, basically Tyus Jones Jr. with maybe a little bit more of a defensive upside. You know, so I've been really pleased with that. And then Jake LaRavia, I think, has looked a lot better than he did last year. It seems like this is the healthiest he has been in a long time, and his play is certainly coming with that. I think the three things we wanted to see from Jake, we have seen: more of a defensive awareness. I wanted to see more confidence and more efficiency, and he's been able to do all three of those things. So I think it's been a successful summer league for the Memphis Grizzlies, but I can't lie, I do want to see more Zach Edey, because I understand that he had a highly successful game against Walker Kessler, and we're all really excited about that. Real NBA center, third-year guy. You know, we've gone over it.
Right.
Second-team rookie, second in blocks, all this stuff. At the end of the day, that is still a seven-footer, and it is the type of player that I expect Zach Edey to be able to have some success against.
Yep.
I want to see Zach Edey play, you know, against different looks. I still think he needs summer league to help him get used to the speed of the NBA, to get used to his role, what it's going to be within the NBA. Because we saw in that first game, even though we would give it an A across the board, there were still moments that you could tell that he's going to have to adjust to what his role is going to be. And that's why I think that summer league minutes for him would bode well for the future. Oh, just give me one more game. Give me one more game. And that's why my fingers are crossed, because we got the report that said even though he was out, he is still probable to return to summer league, so I hope that rings true moving forward.
Now, along with those type of reports, we have reports on the Grizzlies' offseason in general, and this comes from Shams Charania. So this is, about as close to the horse's mouth as you can get. We know Shams and Woj run breaking news in the NBA and in all of those circles, but he did a write-up today on some offseason chatter he's been hearing, and it confirms another belief that we've had this entire time. It may be a reason that the Luke Kennard contract is held up, because they're working on this. But Shams reports that the Grizz are actively discussing trades to move off of Zaire Williams and try to trade him. The problem comes in, though, with Zaire. He hasn't shown much value in the NBA. So how are you going to trade him? You're going to have to lose a trade to potentially get off of Zaire Williams. You may have to attach some second-round picks and get nothing in return, quite frankly. And that's the reality of the situation we're living in right now. But I do think this is part of the reason they're trying to clear some of that $6 million that Zaire Williams is owed, and then maybe they'll they'll get that Luke Kennard deal done shortly after. But this is something they've clearly been trying to do since the offseason began, is try to see who is willing to take on a flyer for Zaire Williams, who was the 10th overall pick 3 years ago. I mean, this is a guy who they thought big things of. He's still 22 years old. He's still very young. Maybe there's a team out there that has, you know, a extra roster spot to use on him and take a flyer on him. We'll see. But it's very clear that the Grizz want to clear off that $6 million that he's owed this year.
Yeah, it's been no secret that the Grizzlies have been trying to get rid of Zaire Williams, and that's why I think all of us have been theorizing that the reason Luke Kennard has not been signed is that they are trying to get off of that Zaire contract, make room for Luke Kennard, and it just appears as if that theory was confirmed today by Shams, because it just makes all of the sense in the world when you think about it. You know, so usually the most simple answer usually is the answer, or the most obvious answer is the obvious thing that's happening. And I think that that's exactly what we're seeing with the Luke Kennard situation. Like we said, he has been leaving breadcrumbs. Like, he's posting Grizzlies basketballs with his baby on social media. He's liking social media posts that involve the Memphis Grizzlies. He's at Summer League right now. We have photo confirmation that he is at the Summer League. So it would be odd if he was doing all these things and he wasn't coming back. And I think that we can all agree Luke Kennard is a really good basketball player, and I would have to think if he was going to leave, another team would have signed him by now.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, if he was available, I feel like he would have already left. So I'm pleased to hear that the Grizzlies are trying to get off of Z, because that to me shows that they are thinking about the future and that they understand, you know, Z, he just can't do what the Grizzlies need him to do. He needs more time to develop. He just needs
to
develop. And that's
why. How much time with one team do you have to develop? I think we have gotten past that time with the Grizzlies at the very least. Another team take on, try to
he never could do what the Grizzlies needed him to.
Well, I mean, last year at this exact time, what were we talking about? He wasn't playing Summer League, and our thought process was, okay, they're trying to get him healthy. He's going to be the wing going into next year, and he got all the opportunity in the world. And I understand that there was injuries along the way, never really able to hit his stride. We always talked about confidence with the guy, and we saw some of that in preseason last year. But this time last year, we're talking about him being the wing that is slotted in there alongside the starting group, and that never came to fruition.
No, that's what I mean. He's never been able to do what the Grizzlies need him to do. They need him to be able to impact winning right now, and he does not have that ability. So he can't be on this roster anymore. There's no room for him. There are players that need the playing time over him. There are people that need the money over him, to be quite frank. The only development spot on the roster right now is going to be Jalen Wells, and I'm pretty comfortable with that. You need one spot to have a development guy, and I guess you could argue Jake LaRavia, but I'm not too concerned about the guys that are ultimately going to probably be 14, 15, John Conchar, too. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're also trying to get off of Conchar, but it just doesn't make sense for Zaire Williams to be on this basketball team anymore.
And I hate to say it.
There's no place for him. The only minutes that he has success are when he is with John Morant, and unfortunately, that can't be what it is. This is now your fourth season. You can't be tied so much to one player, especially when that guy's a superstar who is going to play most of his minutes with other players. There's no room for him. He doesn't do anything well that the Grizzlies need right now. He doesn't play defense at a high level. He doesn't shoot threes at a high level. He's got to move on. He might work out for a different basketball team. I just don't see it in the cards working out for the Memphis Grizzlies. And unfortunately, it appears as if maybe the rest of the NBA might be viewing him that way too, because you are probably going to have to pay to get rid of Zaire Williams. And when we say pay, we mean second-round pick. It's going to have to be a second-round pick that you send off with him. So you just got to find the right spot.
And I hate to say it, as opposed to where we were a year ago, and really as opposed to where I was halfway through the season this year, Jake LaRavia is by far and away a more valuable piece to this Grizzlies team than Zaire Williams. It's not even close at this point. I didn't think it would end up that way, but based on Jake LaRavia's last few games last year, where he was, you know, showing confidence, putting up shots, and looking at Summer League this year, what he's doing, more confidence, he's defending at a higher level. Like, he just fits in a whole lot better with this Grizzlies team, especially if he's going to be the 11th, 12th, 13th guy. Zaire Williams doesn't fit in on this roster anymore.
Right.
You can't take any more roster. You can't use a roster spot on this guy anymore. I think it's a big miss on the part of Zach Kleiman.
Yeah, big miss. Yeah.
Looking back at it. But at the same time, I think at some point you just realize you have to cut ties. I think they've been trying to cut ties since last season, though.
I think even around the trade deadline. Since the deadline. It sounds like they've been trying to move off of him since the deadline. And there's just no market, which, you know, there's also no market for Zach LaVine. So how about Zaire in a second for Zach LaVine? Who says no? Who says no, Gabe Kuhn?
Yeah.
And that's why I've seen a lot of people theorizing that the Grizzlies might be in business with the Brooklyn Nets still. And it's like, well, Maybe. But do the Brooklyn Nets want Ziaire Williams? Maybe. Maybe. If they're trying to tank and try to do a pseudo-rebuild there, maybe Ziaire Williams, that's a good spot.
You're going to have to go talk to somebody who wants to tank for Cooper Flagg, in all likelihood.
Yes. Yeah.
That's probably what you're looking at.
You're not talking to any contender
about Ziaire Williams at this moment. You need to find some cellar dwellers that are willing to take on that $6 million and give him a look.
The biggest thing is the point that you brought up when you first brought up the topic of Ziaire Williams. He has had opportunity, and he has not been able to hold on to it.
I honestly think he's been granted more opportunity than he probably should have, considering the way he's played.
Because of his injuries, yes. He got a longer time to try to see if it would work out because he was often injured. But if you're often injured and you are not productive when you are on the court, what are we supposed to do with you?
Yeah. Now, also in Summer League, the Reed Shepherd experience is pretty fun for the Houston Rockets. They are hyped up about him. He's played two games in Vegas Summer League, 22.5 points per game, 5 rebounds per game, 6 assists per game, 3 steals per game, 2 blocks per game, 56% from the field, 45% from 3. I know that there was talks around the NBA draft where the Grizzlies, you know, maybe trade up. Maybe they throw a loop into the whole system, trade up for him. Obviously, the Rockets got their hands on him. And it looks like right now through Summer League, and obviously we're going to see how it translates to the floor. I think he'll get some good minutes with the Rockets in general this year. But he looks phenomenal, man. He's great on ball, keeps the turnovers relatively down, gets his teammates involved, has really good eyes in initiating offense, and then he knocks down a 3 at a crazy clip. And we should have known that. We knew that. He was the leader in three-point percentage last year in college basketball, 52% from 3. And the NBA three-point line's throwing no loops his way. But he has looked awesome, really, really good through two games in Summer League. And I wonder if this is the type of guy that they'll shut down and say, hey, At some point, you are way too good for Summer League. We know you're going to play with a big club. We spent a high pick on you. We're going to go ahead and wait till the season to deploy you.
Yeah, maybe. Reed Shepherd, he's incredible, and that's why I thought the Rockets were a really good landing spot for him. And I'm not really surprised he's doing this, though, because he had a historic freshman season at Kentucky. Like,
how
when
did
you
he
look
not
on...
start on that team? It still confuses me.
Don't ask me. Do not ask me, but if you're watching these Summer League highlights and you're a Kentucky fan, you're breaking holes in your wall. Like, you're probably freaking out. You're like, how are we not using him in this way in college basketball? But it calls into question, like, don't overthink the draft, y'all. Sometimes I think people overthink it.
Yep.
And when somebody puts up historic numbers in college, that player is probably going to be able to translate in some way to the NBA into the NBA style, especially with him shooting three-pointers being like the number
especially
one
the
thing
style.
That he does.
He's a combo guard.
Yes, he shoots threes. Right. He shot 52% from three at a high volume. It's not like he was taking one a game. It was high volume three-point
shooting.
It's not
shooting. Like he lacks a bunch of athleticism.
Yeah.
Like he's got all of that. He's really good on ball, and he's a decent defender. Right, he's got some ability to get knockaways, turn defense into offense. He's done it all though. I think I've seen enough of him already. Now we'll see if the Rockets keep running him out there, but I wouldn't blame them if they shut him down completely.
I wonder what his odds are for Rookie of the Year.
Probably have taken a nice bump. I mean, you can go check that out right now via FanDuel. But Zach Edey was +600 at the shortest odds last time I checked.
Well, that's and kind of
Alex
another
Saar,
example.
Alex Saar, depending on where you look, DraftKings, I think, had him tied with Zach Edey +600.
Well, and Edey's kind of, I know we've only seen him once in Summer League, but again, that's another example of, I think people just overthought it a little bit. Guy had historic numbers in college, things that we haven't really seen for a big man. Yeah, he's going to be able to probably translate to the NBA in some sort of way. He's not going to be a bust. It's people throw the bust word around far too much. And I will say, throughout Summer League, it is appearing that maybe the worst class ever might be a little bit better than people were giving it credit for. We've always said that this class was better than I think people were really giving it credit for.
Depth was similar.
They didn't have a superstar.
That's the point. That's the big point with why this draft was viewed.
Maybe they do.
It was viewed in the light it was. Well, again, it depends on the role he'll actually play with the Rockets, because you still have Fred VanVleet, Dylan Brooks, guys that are taking away, Alperen Şengün, who are going to take shots away from him, where he's not going to play this massive role on ball to be a superstar type player. I don't know if he's going to be able to average 22 points per game for the Rockets' big club. But I think the one thing with this draft the entire time, there's just the top-end talent wasn't there. You didn't have Victor Wembanyama. You don't have a Cooper Flagg. You don't have somebody who you think you can drop in and immediately go score 20 points per game. I don't know if any of these rookies are going to lead that. There's going to be very few rookies, quite frankly, that will start for their teams. I think Zach Edey's one of the few that's actually going to start.
Yeah, Edey,
and that's why he's
Castle.
At the top of the Rookie of the Year odds.
Sar will start
at this moment.
So Sar should start. Will Richa start?
I don't know.
Maybe.
Not sure.
I have no idea.
Not sure.
I'm not going to pretend like I know what's going on with the Hawks.
No. But, I mean, it's just the top-end talent. That's what this NBA draft was being docked for. I think there was it was similar depth as every other draft right there in the second round. You can get some nice steals there. But the top end of this draft just did not have that superstar caliber talent that we're used to. Now, I think some of these guys can grow into it. But I think the idea of it, and you heard it from a lot of NBA GMs, you're trying to find a role piece. That's
right.
What they were trying to do
yep.
in the lottery. Go find a guy who can play a role potentially year one and then grow into being the type of caliber of player that you want him to be ultimately.
Lots of guys here who can impact winning in the future.
Yep, 100%. 100%. Now let's go ahead and grab our first break of the day. And when we come back, I want to transition to the SEC Media Days. Greg Sankey spoke on realignment with the ACC completely in shambles. And also, I'm going to go ahead and give you my top five finishers in the SEC standings, how it will be voted upon by the end of SEC Media Days. They're going to have all the ballots going. But I'll give you my top five finishers in the SEC coming up next right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. SEC Media Days rolling along right now in Dallas, Texas at the Omni Hotel. How about that? We had Greg Sankey speak. But then it was today is going to be LSU, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Vandy. Tomorrow, Georgia, Tennessee, Oklahoma, and Mizzou. People are getting their votes in to see where the finish is going to be. We'll have the poll that will be published as soon as SEC Media Days are over. But let's start with Greg Sankey. He gave the State of the SEC address, and really one of the biggest questions that he received was about expansion, and it has to do with the ACC litigation that is ongoing right now. You have various different teams in the ACC trying to see how ironclad those grant of rights are, most notably Clemson and Florida State. So Greg Sankey was asked about this, and here was his quote. It's relatively long, but he said, "I'm not a recruiter. My job is to make sure we meet the standard of excellence that we have for ourselves on a daily basis. That attracts interest. It's done that with the two universities that we have added this year," talking about Texas and Oklahoma. "They're not the only phone calls I've ever had, but I'm not involved in recruitment. Our presidents have been clear that I am not going to entangle us in litigation around expansion. So I pay attention, but I'm not engaged in those conversations. The broader implications, obviously, if things change, then there's a new level of uncertainty. It already creates speculation that I think is counterproductive, but I don't spend an enormous amount of time thinking about it. I certainly don't spend any time engaged in recruiting activity because we're focused on our 16.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently With offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It sounds like the SEC is pretty fine with where they're at as a football product. Now, if the opportunity presents itself down the road, maybe they'll hop in there, but adding Texas and Oklahoma adds to an already unbelievable product on a football field. They outside of the Big Ten, have the biggest TV media rights deal of the major conferences. They're in a very, very good spot. I think focusing on the 16, even going for the next 10 years, if you had to do that, would be totally fine, and they would be still at the top of the football game, just considering the products and the universities, the institutions they already have. So it doesn't sound like Greg Sankey is in any way trying to get involved with the ACC and the mess they have on their hands, and I completely understand that. You don't want to insert yourself in an already litigious situation. That would be counterproductive to what they're already doing right now, and they already have a year in which they're adding two new members.
Right, and you know, whenever these commissioners speak, you always feel like you have to take what they say with a grain of salt, but to be quite honest, I totally believe him here. I don't think that the SEC is open for business. There's no reason they need to expand right now. Like you said, they are in prime position with a TV deal. They have, you know, they arguably are the strongest conference in college football and will continue to be for the foreseeable future. So there's just no reason for them to get involved with the messiness that can be college expansion.
Yes.
Or conference expansion. Conference expansion.
Especially when they're just now getting used to Texas and Oklahoma. This is their first media days, SEC media days. They have to get used to those teams being a part of the whole thing before they decide to expand
even
further.
And if we want to be honest about it, there are really only two schools that I think would even pique their interest, and it would be Florida State and Clemson. And I just, you know, okay, that they're good. I just think that the SEC is good for now.
Yeah. I think the Big 12 would be the conference you look at right now in the current situation that would be most able to expand with those two particular schools. But I don't even know if they're all that worried about it at this particular moment. I think everybody's going to have to sit back. I know everybody wants to like get this timeline going so we have a little bit of clarity, but we know that conference expansion realignment is always ongoing, so you're never going to have as much clarity as you think, even if those dominoes fall. But at this particular moment, I don't think any certain conference is all that involved with Florida State and Clemson until all of this litigation is out of the way.
Exactly.
If I am a conference commissioner, if I'm a president at a university that's already aligned with a certain conference, I don't want to get involved with that nonsense right now. Let them handle it in court, then we can talk about it on the back end once everything's figured out.
Clemson and Florida State want to get out of the ACC more than other conferences want them.
Yep. Now, it was Nick Saban's first go around having to wear a credential. I thought it was kind of funny. First thing he said when he was on ESPN this morning is he's never worn a credential in his life. He was almost denied at the door until they saw his face. But he said he's never worn a credential in his life. He was almost denied, but they ended up letting him in. I think that was the right decision. But I think he's done a really good job early, just sort of watching some of the coverage on SEC Network. It's fun to see Nick Saban out there. But he did have a take that is making its waves. Everybody's talking about it right now, and it has to do with Texas. And he basically was approaching the conversation, can Texas do what they have done the past couple of years in the Big 12 and the SEC? Can they run the SEC like they used to when all these teams were in the same conference? This is what Nick Saban had to say about Texas.
You know, what kind of tickles me is all these people asking these questions about how Texas always ran the conference they were in. They're not going to run the SEC. There's a whole lot of arrogant people in a lot of places in the SEC, so they can forget all about that. They'll be a good team and a great program, and Sark will do a great job, but that's not going to be a problem.
Now, to be fair, listen, I don't know if there's anybody who's really run the SEC year after year outside of Alabama and Nick Saban and that whole tenure. Now, Georgia has the chance to do that. We'll see what Kirby Smart can do. He needs to get a handle on this reckless driving stuff. But he won two straight national titles. He was 13-1 last year. beat the hell out of Florida State in the bowl game. I think that Kirby Smart's the next up. But when it comes to Texas and the doubting of Texas, I think he's a little bit misplaced. Because I look at them and what they have. They have a great talent pool that they can pick a pick on from the state of Texas. All those Texas guys that live in the state of Texas that are 5 and 4 stars ultimately want to make their way to Austin and play for the Longhorns. That's the truth of the matter. They have the money to compete. I think they have a good coach in place. They have plans for the future as well. Quinn Ewers, yeah, he's got one more year, but what's coming up next? You have Arch Manning waiting in the wings. They have the ability to sustain what they have already, and not to mention you have a rabid fan base who's willing to donate, who's ready to go with this move to the SEC. I'm not saying they're going to run the SEC, but I would not be surprised by any stretch of the imagination if we're looking at the next 5 to 10 years, and they're a top three finish every single year in the SEC. That would not surprise me in the slightest. They are really wiggled, well set up for the future at Texas. Now, I know that we have been, completely fooled in the past. The Texas is back stuff has always been around. But I thought last year definitely laid the groundwork for what we think about Texas. I think it laid the groundwork in a great way. They've beaten Alabama. They put themselves into the college football playoff 4. Now it expands to 12. I think they have a chance to be a consistent winner in the SEC, regardless of the competition step up that they're going to make.
Well, I think one of the reasons the Texas is back joke has been around for so long is because we can be honest about it. Texas has been underwhelming for basically a decade. So it's like now that they're in the SEC, a stronger conference, it does feel like they have momentum behind them. I would not be surprised if they are one of the powerhouses within the SEC. Do you think, though, that we are really going to see a run like Saban had, though, again in college football?
No,
or do you think
I think that's a
relic of the old college football?
Listen, I don't know. I guess like the best chance for anybody in the country to make something like that happen,
Georgia,
is Georgia.
Yeah.
But we're talking about 6 national titles, a crazy run of just making it to the college football playoff every year, an expectation that was set every single year.
We're talking about
the ability to adapt to, like, that's something that I think people don't really understand about Nick Saban. There was just this ability for him, no matter what type of ball that was being played at that time, he would adapt to that style of ball and go win. He again, I always talk about it, but ground control play defense for the better part of the early 2000s, early 2010s. Then he saw Clemson and all these other schools just light up, LSU, light up everybody with the passing game. And they didn't play the greatest defense in the world, but they had a passing game that really couldn't be touched. And what did he do? He had probably the best 4 quarterback run in the history of college football. And I don't say that lightly. When we talk about Jalen Hurts, Tua, Bryce Young, Mac Jones, that really is the best 4 quarterback run in the history of college football. You had a second round pick and 3 first round picks. It's hard for that to ever be replicated. And I think it's going to be nearly impossible to replicate what Nick Saban did. And I don't think that should be any hot take by any stretch of the imagination. Nick Saban is the best college football coach we have ever seen in the history of college football. So I don't think anybody is going to reach those levels. Kirby Smart in Georgia, probably the closest. But I think that there's a misnomer about running the SEC. If you run it for 5 to 5, 6 years, that would be running the SEC for that time. I think Texas has the ability to do that. But over the long span, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years, no one's going to be able to accomplish that because Nick Saban is the only one in history we've ever seen do that.
And that's why I don't think that the bar for success within the SEC should
is
be
Nick
reaching
Saban.
The heights of Nick Saban.
No, absolutely not. Even Alabama fans who just moved on to Kalen DeBoer, a really good coach, they're not thinking. They can't possibly
I hope they
think
aren't.
That.
Yeah.
I know that they are rabid and they expect a lot of success, but that is a level of success that I just don't think is touchable, man.
No.
With the amount of NIL flowing, with the amount of different schools that are involved in recruitments, getting all of this top-tier talent, it is really hard to have a corner. It's really hard to just corner all that talent like Alabama did for all those years and have all the best coaches for all those years and really Nick Saban at the top running thing.
I would be shocked if Texas doesn't have success in the SEC.
I think they will have a lot of success, which leads me into sort of a top five here. But wait a second. I have 2 teams that were on the outside looking in when it came to my top 5 expected finishes in the SEC. 2 that were on the outside. I have Oklahoma at about 7. I believe in Jackson Arnold. I think he's going to be good, but I think that they're going to have a tough time. They have a really tough opening schedule going into the SEC with a rookie quarterback, quite frankly, coming off Dylan Gabriel, going to Oregon. It's going to be really tough for them to break into that top five this year, but I think going into the future, I think they have a chance under Brent Venables. And then number six, I know a lot of people will put them in the top five based on what they did last year. They beat Ohio State in a bowl game. They're really good, and I respect Mizzou. I have a lot of respect. I mean, that's my home state. I've seen where they're at as compared to where they've been in the past, and they're in a great spot. They're recruiting better. They're doing a lot of good things. Aliyah Drinkwitz, I have a tremendous amount of respect for. But I have them right on the outside at number six. And the reason I say that, they lost five guys to the NFL draft on the defensive side of the ball from a top 40 defense. And on top of that, Blake Baker, their DC from last year, who led that top 40 defense, who brought along guys like Darius Robinson, who was a first-round pick, Ennis Rakestraw, who's a second-round pick to the Lions. He's with LSU now. It's going to be really hard for them to replicate a lot of those things. And I do think Luther Burden on the offensive side of the ball, Brady Cook, that'll be good. That'll be a good hookup. But you also, mind you, lost Cody Schrader, who was the leading rusher in the SEC last year. I just think they've lost too much to have a top five finish. So let's get into the top five.
Number five.
Number five for me, I'm going to go with the LSU Tigers. And the reason I do that, Garrett Nussmeier has experience already, as opposed to Jackson Arnold at Oklahoma. He's a guy that we've already seen play some meaningful time, and he's done well with that time. And I know he's replacing Jaden Daniels, who was the Heisman last year, and they're going to have to replace those wide receivers. But if we know anything about LSU and their recruiting and the talent and the speed they'll have on the outside, I think they'll be just fine at trying to replace those guys. I think they'll have a good offense. Their offensive line is a lot better than it was a year ago. And then on the defensive side of the ball, that's where they struggled the most, right, Connor? Remember last year, it's like, oh, if they had a good defense, imagine where this team would be. Because this offense is just so prolific. It's explosive with Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. and Jaden Daniels. But when you look at the defensive side of the ball, I just talked about Mizzou losing that DC. That DC went to LSU and Blake Baker. I think that defense will be improved. Offense may take a step back, but I think that it balances itself out for a top five finish at number five.
Number four.
I'm going to go with Ole Miss here. I really like Ole Miss. I really do. On the defensive side of the ball, they add Walter Nolan. On the offensive side of the ball, I really good running back room. Ulysses Bentley there. I really like what they have. Offensive line is still relatively good. Lane Kiffin leading the whole thing. Feel good about. I think the defense just takes a step in the right direction. I was debating four or three with them in Alabama, but that leads me to number three.
Number three.
Alabama. I think that they will finish in the top three this year, even with Kalen DeBoer coming in. I am of the opinion that the defense will be solid. I think they've done a good job. Kane Womack coming in from South Alabama. I really like what he can potentially do. He's coming from a head coach to be a DC. I think their defense won't miss that much of a beat. On the offensive side, though, this is where I'm a little contrary to a lot of other people. I think, this is my personal opinion, Kalen DeBoer and Jalen Milroe, I love that match. I think it is a match made in heaven for especially Jalen Milroe. What Kalen DeBoer did with Michael Penix Jr. over the years from Indiana to Washington, don't overlook it. When he was at Indiana, he ran the ball a hell of a lot. He used his legs in a big way, just like he will use Jalen Milroe's legs this year. But after injuries, after some setbacks for Michael Penix Jr., what did they do at Washington? Aired it out, threw for 4,000-plus yards a year, and found ways to exploit the downfield passing game and the accuracy that Michael Penix Jr. had. When we look at Jalen Milroe, he was second last year in the SEC behind Jaden Daniels for completions of 20-plus yards or more. If there's one thing he possesses in a passing game, it's that downfield threat. He can uncork the ball. And what better coach in America, after having watched Michael Penix Jr. in that Washington offense last year, what better coach in America to try to use that to his advantage, the deep passing game, than Kalen DeBoer? I think this offense will be even better than a year ago, and I think the defense will be right in stride with where they were a year ago.
Number two.
I'm going to go with Texas. Just a lot of returning talent. I respect what they have. Quinn Ewers, I think, will take a step in the right direction with his extra year here that he's taking instead of going to the NFL draft. Defensively, they were solid a year ago. Yeah, they lost a couple of guys up front on that D-line, but I think they'll reload relatively well. I just like what Sark has built. I think that offense will be really prolific and very fun to watch. And I think they've got a relatively easy lead-in schedule to the SEC. So give me Texas at number two.
Number one.
Is there any doubt who I'm going to pick at number one, Connor? Is there really an explanation I need to give either? It's Georgia. Like, there's just no doubt about it. Kirby Smart, as we just talked about with Nick Saban and the run he had, Kirby Smart has the second best chance, or the best chance in the current structure of college football to make that Saban-like run. Do I ever think he'll get there? No, but he's got two national championships under his belt. He coaches defense with the best of them in the country. As long as he doesn't have a bunch of suspensions, which he has not done yet, because of reckless driving and DUIs and everything else, I think they'll be fine. Now, they lost Brock Bowers, who was one of the biggest targets for Carson Beck last year, but Carson Beck, don't sleep on this guy. This guy has the potential to be the number one pick in the NFL draft going into next year. I think he has the potential to be the best quarterback in college football this year. And if the defense is a given, you need to see that offense roll. I think Carson Beck is the perfect guy to have his hands on this offense going into next season. Now, Connor, let me ask you. We went 5 LSU, 4 Ole Miss, 3 Alabama, 2 Texas, 1 Georgia. Any issue with that top five?
I don't have any issue with it. It's just I'm assuming Tennessee is 8.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. But I think they'll be fine. I'm not saying they'll be bad.
I think they could be in the top 5.
I think they could.
I think they could be in that LSU spot.
I think they could be. They could peak at 10-2. I think they could. The sort of baseline for them is about 8-4, though, right? And I think there's a couple of teams that could be sprung in over them. That's all.
That's why if they get into the top 5, I think it would be 5.
Yeah, but you also have to remember, being a top half team in the SEC with 16 teams, it's not the worst thing in the world. That's not
bad. I'm not mad at it.
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
But also, with me in Tennessee. And this is the conversation that everyone's going to have around Tennessee. Let's sit back and watch Nico in year one.
I think that's
fair. Let's just wait. I think they could put themselves into a top 7, top 6 conversation in the SEC this year. But I want to see Nico cook first.
Yep.
I want to see how that goes before we immediately crown Tennessee.
I agree.
Yeah. So, again, top 5. I went LSU at 5. Ole Miss at number 4, Alabama number 3, 2 Texas, and 1 Georgia. But I expect it to be a really, really fun year in the SEC, adding Texas and Oklahoma. And Oklahoma could be an interesting one along the way.
Are people underrating Ole Miss across the country?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I guess there's a little bit of that. Because on paper, and with continuity, they probably should be over Alabama, and I see a lot of nods with Alabama over Ole Miss. And we know how well Lane has done in the transfer portal with Walter Nolan and Princely. I'm not even going to try to say his last name, but he's a DN from Florida, one of the biggest transfer portal gets he got out of the transfer portal this offseason. But I still need to see with his style of offense if that defense can hold up over the long haul. I think I have similar questions about Tennessee, too, with their defense. If you can get those defenses to catch up to where they just be top half, just be average, I think that they could finish even higher than a lot of people are putting them, that a lot of people are slotting them right now.
Who do you think in your top five is at most risk to slide out?
I'm going to go LSU. That's the obvious answer. That's the obvious answer there, because I think that there's a group of Mizzou, Oklahoma, Tennessee that could easily dethrone them at number 5. Like, I have no doubts about that. But I think LSU is probably the team. Because Garrett Nussmeier, the only reason I have them at number 5 is because I think Garrett Nussmeier has a litany of experience where a lot of these other teams just have fallen back a little bit.
How big is the gap from the top half to the back half of the SEC?
Relatively large. It's kind of big. I mean, because once you start getting to the meat of things, like the South Carolinas of the world, we know Vandy's going to be dead last.
No way.
You keep going down. I think the top half has a massive lead over the bottom half. I think a lot of these bottom half teams will be around 7-5, where the top half teams I could see as much as 9 wins, 10 wins. So, there's that. But Let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. And when we come back, we'll get David Cobb's opinion on my top five. We'll talk about SEC Media Days as we have a short sprint up to college football. The season is going to be just around the corner. That's going to be next, 92.9 FM ES.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer? A beach bum summer? Or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest. Plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
Is probably the team. Because Garrett Nussmeier, the only reason I have them at number five is because I think Garrett Nussmeier has a litany of experience where a lot of these other teams just have fallen back a little bit.
How big is the gap from the top half to the back half of the SEC?
Relatively large. It's kind of big. I mean, because once you start getting to the, you know, the meat of things, like the South Carolinas of the world, we know Vandy's going to be dead last.
No way.
I mean, you keep going down. I think the top half has a massive lead over the bottom half. I think a lot of these bottom half teams will be around 7-5, where the top half teams I could see as much as 9 wins, 10 wins. So there's that. But let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. And when we come back, we'll get David Cobb's opinion on my top five. We'll talk about SEC Media Days as we have a short sprint up to college football. The season is going to be just around the corner. That's going to be next, 92.9 FM ES.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest. Plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.